Well, today, as we've been saying on Palm Sunday, traditionally the church remembers Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem and the way that those large crowds welcomed him. Not just two or three folks, but large crowds welcoming Jesus as he came into the town. Oh, I forgot that one. Sorry, Brian, move on one, would you please? Thank you. Large crowds welcoming Jesus. And as we were saying, it was so easy, doubtless, to be part of a crowd, to be caught up with the enthusiasm of what was happening, because really, they believed that he was the one. The one they had been waiting for. And yet, how quickly it all changed from adulation to abandonment. From adulation to abandonment. It is so easy to be part of a crowd, any kind of crowd, so easy to get swept along. We'll go back, right? Back again. There we go. So easy to be part of a crowd and to get caught up with the enthusiasm. Easy to get swept along, but as we were asking when our children were here with us, will you stick with it? And this theme we're going to take up further tonight in our evening service. Sticking with Jesus. But for now, this morning, we're going to leave the crowds and move from the Sunday of the week to the Thursday. And here we have Jesus with his inner circle, the disciples. Naturally, Jesus wanted to spend his last hours with them. He had, after all, loved them most of all, as John puts it. He knew that the hour had come. Last week, if you remember, we were saying something very similar. He knew that the time had come for him to start heading towards Jerusalem. And now, in the same way, he knows that the hour has come for everything to be fulfilled, and that, of course, to be culminating on the cross. This was it. So we might wonder, what would Jesus want to leave with his disciples? This is the last chance he's going to have to impart something to them. What would be his last thought? His last lesson, as it were? Put yourself in a similar kind of situation. Well, I'll tell you one of mine. I spoke a couple of weeks ago about being the manager of the football team at Lakeland School and the trials of that. But anyway, I always try to say something to the player before they run onto the pitch. Because once they're on the pitch, quite frankly, I have no further control over them. That's me passing the blame for the heavy defeats that we've suffered. But just before they go on the pitch, I try to say one last thing to them that will perhaps stick in their minds. And it'll maybe be something like, you know, well, it's going to be very simple for this team. You can't get too complicated with tactics. So it'll be just something like, you know, keep running all the way through the game, or try your best, or tackle hard, or, you know, try to shoot towards the goal when you have the chance. Very, very simple things. At the last B team game, one of our players took a kick in from the side of the pitch and was going completely the wrong way. And I had to say to her, we're going that way, we're trying to score in that goal. This is the material that I'm trying to work on. Even to get them to know which way to go. So, the final instructions, the last things that I say before the players are going to pitch is, remember, you're going that way. Or, imagine, and some of you will remember this one, imagine your son or daughter is leaving home, about to head off to university perhaps, and What's the last thing you're going to say to them? Things like, trying to think what they might be. I've got a few in my mind. Here's one that comes to mind. If you can't be good, be careful. Or, you know, do me proud. I'm just looking around at one or two faces here who have been through that, and so I wonder what your parting shot was. The last thing you put in their heads before they left home. Or, here's another one. Imagine you were visiting someone and knew for a fact that that would be the last time you were seeing them. And of course I find myself from there time to time visiting people who are ill and dying. And you feel a great burden on you in many ways. Some ways you want to make small talk, but on the other hand, is small talk any good at a time like that? What would be the very last thing you said to someone, a loved one of yours, if you knew that this was the last thing you were going to get to say to them? So, with these kinds of thoughts, we put ourselves in Jesus' position. He's got one last moment with his friends, with his dearest friends, his disciples. And so what will he want to say to them in that final hour? Well, firstly, Jesus wanted them to know just how much he loved them. He wanted them to be in no doubt about that. This one conviction he wanted them to have, how much he loved them. Had loved them and always would. And folks, I think in the very same way, if there was one last thing that Jesus would say to you, it would be that same message. If he could just grab you for one moment of your time, one thought to put to you, it would be that he loves you. I don't think it would be any more complicated than that. But the thing about Jesus is this: he was never content with words. He always showed his love. Doesn't it need to be that way, folks? I mean, it's nice to be told that you are loved, but it's nice to be shown it. True Christian love will always show itself. One thinks back to one of the great saints like Mother Teresa. And was it enough for her to be going round the streets of Calcutta saying to children who were dying and old people who had been abandoned in the gutters of the streets of that great metropolis? And was it enough for her to say to them, do you know God loves you? Or was it rather that that old and frail lady took them up into her hospice and cared for them through their dying days? She showed them her love. That's always the Jesus way. And in our own experience, would it be enough for us to go to Malawi and say to those children who are over there, many of whom are orphans, did you know that God loves you? Well, that's fine. We're way back to Scotland now. Hope you can remember that God loves you. Move on, would you, Brian, please? There's got to be more than just telling children in Malawi that God loves them. We've got to make it clear. And this is why some of you right now are knitting school uniforms for them, and why we've put up a medical centre, residential centres, and why we're showing children what God's love actually means. Back up, please, to where we were for the picture of Malawi. Incidentally, if you're looking at Naomi, that was taken in 2007. She's moved on a little bit from then. but she's still there. Because putting over God's love to people is not just a fleeting moment. We don't just tell them, we show them. So God wanted his disciples to know how much he loved them. And he showed them by the washing of the feet. The ultimate service. Might I say the unthinkable service for their leader, for their teacher, their master, to be down on his knees washing their feet. It's almost like the queen showed up at your house and offered to do the dishes. I would say, can I show you where the Hoover is as well? So you can do it. I mean, it's unthinkable, isn't it? Completely and utterly ridiculous notion. But it was equally a ridiculous notion that Jesus, their master, would be washing their feet. I love this verse. Look at the top part of it. Jesus knew that the Father, God, had given him complete power. Now, what would you do if you had been given complete power? Wow. Complete power. Jesus was given complete power and used it to get down on his knees and to serve. Power and humility are beautifully linked in Jesus, and so need to be for us. But that's not the end of it. Of course, he wanted them to know how much he loved them. But really, he was building up to this. This was what he wanted to leave them with. This was his last will and testament to his followers. Just as I have loved you and served you, so you must now love and serve one another. This is what he wanted ringing in their ears. This was what he wanted them to remember him for. This was his last command. No high-sounding theology, no platitudes, just a command. As I have washed your feet, so now you must wash one another's. In other words, you must love one another, serve one another. And that is what he told his disciples on that last night. Now, folks, it seems to me that if he reserved that for the last moment, he thought it was because he reckoned it to be the most important thing. Wasn't going to be trivial, was it? This was his last opportunity to speak to him. It wasn't going to be just passing thought. It was going to be the most important thing. This serving one another. And as it became true for his disciples, so it must become true for us. As Jesus puts it, blessed are those who put it into practice. If true for the disciples, the first disciples, then how true it must be for us. There is so much to complicate what it means to follow Jesus. So much to complicate what it means to be a Christian. But in his final moment, when he was wanting to sum it up for his followers, he made it painfully simple. Love and service to one another. There's so much else it could be about, but if we don't start with that, and finished with that, then all the other bits are really beside the point. I think you know that it needn't literally be about washing feet, but it very certainly is about serving, and about being on our knees in service. That's where Jesus went, onto his knees, and so must be the posture of a Christian, on our knees in service. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we can only marvel at the way in which Jesus was ready to give up all the glories of heaven and to come and take upon himself our lives. And though he was teacher and master and Lord, yet he was ready to serve and to give his life in love. We pray, Lord, for the same Spirit to be alive in us, that we too might learn what it is to be humble and to live lives of service. Inspire us in that way, for we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.